Sam McKee's here. What's up, buddy?
How are you, man?
Hungover.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Hurting.
I avoided it a little bit. I'm not too bad today.
Dude, I'm basically Biden. I get the cocktail in the morning where it's like I take a caffeine gum, a coffee, neuro thing.
What, MTC oil? What is that?
Yeah, they shot me up with the full brain cocktail to get going today. I'm on whatever they're going to need to get, whatever they trot Biden out there for like 5 minutes at a time.
If I'm hungover now at this age, yeah, which,
that's what they need.
Happens once in a while.
Yeah.
I really just, I have like a big Yeti water.
Yep.
And I just hammer that thing full of water.
Sure.
And I just chug the entire thing, full thing of like a liter of water.
Yeah.
And then I have a coffee, and generally I'm okay.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Yeah. This is the number one to take. Oh, you just don't drink water before
no,
bed.
No. I do when I get up.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't ever drink water before bed.
Oh,
really. I'll have maybe a Tylenol if it's really bad, but no, I'm okay.
See, I don't really.
I'm kind of a veteran now. That's the problem.
Yeah,
I'm kind of a veteran.
We had a blast last night. Well, we went to Cafe Dip to watch the soccer game. Well, actually, yeah, no. It was fun at first.
The idea of it was fantastic.
The idea was great. The company was great.
Yes.
We were enjoying our time at first. Mm-hmm. First of all, let me say, the staff at Cafe Dip, all time.
Yeah.
Like, the servers there, the patio is jam-packed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a zoo. You got a million people watching the soccer game who are highly invested in it, who also need constant refreshments.
Yes.
Especially on a hot day like that yesterday.
And stress drinking.
Stress drinking, the heat, moving around, great job. That awesome, awesome setup. Thanks to everybody over there for, like, an awesome time. Rocco, the whole gang.
Yeah.
Incredible. There is nothing. I watch all the sports.
Mm-hmm.
I watch everything.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks my heart that I have never been able to have passion for a club.
Okay, yeah.
Because you can't fake it, right? You can't just find it. You know me, I kind of have a little dalliance with West Ham, where I like West Ham.
Yeah.
But I'm not in love with West Ham. I don't live or die with them. I couldn't tell you one player on the team right now.
Okay.
Not one.
Yes, okay.
I like the idea of being a West Ham fan.
The Hammers.
That's
great,
right.
Colors, great stuff.
But
they're a cool team.
I could never be a front runner. I could never just bandwagon on one of the big teams.
Yeah.
They're too big. The history's too rich.
Yep.
I also don't want to get up on Saturday morning. I never want the conflict of football with football.
Football.
But when you're watching a high stakes, high event, big moment soccer game, I don't know if there's anything that beats that rush. I said to you, it's like watching overtime hockey. But
for 90
from
minutes.
The very outset of it, it's just like, welcome, you're in overtime hockey now.
Well, that's the thing, especially when you're playing a team like Argentina, when you're Canada,
oh,
that the stakes are so high because you're gonna have three or four chances, tops, in 90 minutes. You're going to have a few good chances, and if you don't tuck, you're probably going to lose 2 or 3-0 like what happened last night. But yeah, even me who loves Chelsea, I love TFC. Like, I go to a lot of TFC games. I watch most Chelsea games. It's not
that?
The same.
Okay.
There's nothing that's like, I even think any fan of a club team, like even if you're from Madrid and you love Real Madrid or you love Atletico, you're a huge fan of one of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
When Spain's playing, I'm sure that like Real Madrid pales in comparison to how much you love Spain or Spain's soccer team. That's how I think it would be. So I think at any level, international sports matters more. It always will matter more. It's about your country. It's about, you know, pride, civic pride, having all your friends together cheering for the same thing.
When Canada baseball plays, I'm not like, oh my God, I need this more than anything.
But the WBC, it's like, we had like Ryan Dempster pitching for us last year. Like, I cared.
But it's nothing like that. It's nothing like that.
But soccer is a global game.
I wonder how basketball is going to feel now this time around with the boys.
That's going to be very exciting. But we're new to this. We're new to being decent. We're new to being good. We're new to playing in these big tournaments.
Yeah.
And just having Canada in a game against Argentina at a major tournament was one of the more surreal experiences. Like, they got the big flags in the field and they're doing the big like intro for Copa
America.
Only
time I'd ever seen that was when I played FIFA World Cup editions.
And I was like, wow, Canada's flag.
Real.
Yeah.
Not FIFA World Cup.
So no, it was very, very, very cool.
No, it was cool.
Yeah, except for
some of the Argentinian fans that were there that totally ruined it. And we'll talk about that in a sec. But I got to stay on this for just a second before we just.
But I can't talk about it without that.
Oh, of course not.
It just clouds everything.
No, we were there. And again, the game was awesome. Mm-hmm. The staff was awesome. Mm-hmm. The atmosphere, for the most part, the Canadian fans, respectful and great, as mm-hmm. always.
Quite, yes.
And there were just a few bad apple Argentinian fans mm-hmm. that I, how many games do you think I've been to? How many bars do you think I've been to in my life? Like, I'm an old man yeah. now. I've been to thousands. Mm-hmm. Like, my whole life has basically been from the legal drinking age to now has been me in bars and stadiums watching games and sharing those spaces with other fans. The Argentinian fan that sat in front of us was yeah. the worst person I've ever witnessed at a sporting event or a sports bar in my entire life.
I'm trying to go through the Rolodex.
You and I went to that Yankees game yeah. together where there was the one guy.
Yeah, and it was tense with me and we got into it.
Dude, I got in a fight in Montreal when I was in my early 20s.
It was on the Mount Rushmore. Let's just say that.
She's ahead of those guys that punched me and my friends out.
So I think to go back to us being new to this,
yeah.
like we know hockey, where we've been around a million Habs fans in our life. We've been around a million Ottawa Senators fans yeah. in our lives. Yankees, like you said, Red Sox. We've been around.
Soccer brings out the worst in people.
We've been around.
But soccer like, but brings you, out but to, the
exactly,
worst in people.
To your point yeah. about it feeling like 90 minutes of playoff hockey, yeah. the stakes are so high.
Yeah.
Having this woman there made it feel like it was the World Cup final.
Yeah, it did.
I've never had a higher stakes.
Never wanted
event.
Anything more in sports
like,
than
just
to
a
score.
Goal.
Yeah.
Just a goal. And I've never, like, she really ruined the night.
Honestly, though. It's kind of good we didn't score because had we scored, it could have gotten bad. It could have gotten bad. It would have gotten
contentious.
Four of words would have gone through the roof. I just, there's truly nothing worse. And I don't, I'm not this person when I go to sporting events. Yeah. Maybe when I was again in my early 20s going to like Leafs Sens games, talking a little trash. Because going to Leafs Sens, especially. You got, you know that.
Sorry, that was TJ getting the highlights.
Yeah,
I was
you're like
at the text line.
You want? Sorry, was I saying something so boring that you just went to your laptop to watch TJ getting the highlights?
No, they were just on there from yesterday. My bad.
You're like, hey, let me just pull these up real quick. Let you watch TJ.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than being the loudmouth, nonstop fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the
moments,
opposing
though.
Atmosphere that has no sense of humor mm-hmm. or ability to connect with the people around you.
Shame, as we call
it. Yeah, that's it. It's like. If you're going to talk a little trash, it has to be done a little tongue-in-cheek with, like, a wry smile, you know? Well, as soon as you start getting into the mode of really being rude and awful and bringing that tone to sports, you do. You ruin it for the people around you. And that's what sucked about that. But to kind of compare the soccer thing, too, to even how I'm going to feel with the basketball, it's not because basketball, gamer runs, you basically are going to feel that in a tight game mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You got to wait for the fourth quarter to feel that kind of energy, that kind of import. And there is something about soccer, the global game. It's not just going to the Olympics. It really is going to be how you fare against the United States.
Yeah, that's
you
it.
Know, they're the top.
Yeah.
Soccer, this is the United States of soccer, mm-hmm. or at least one of them.
Yeah.
But then there's like 8 United States of soccer, mm-hmm. 6 United States of soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So to be playing Argentina, I actually came away with this a little disappointed in the result in the moment because I wanted Canada to win and they had the, you know, it was 0-0 at the half. But my major takeaway from this game is we should be so proud of where this country is at soccer-wise.
Oh, no question.
We played Argentina and it wasn't embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, they had a few breakaways, but
dude,
outside of that,
of course,
it was okay.
They did, and our goalie made some spectacular
Maxime
saves.
Crapo
made some unreal saves. There's a scenario in this game where Argentina does beat Canada 4-1, 5-1, right? Mm-hmm. There's definitely that. So if you're looking at this game going, oh, your goalie made all these saves and all this, that was not an embarrassing result.
Mm-hmm.
Canada, I thought, acquitted themselves very well. They had some good counterattacks, which is supposed to be the thing. Mm-hmm. I saw some people online doing the whole, oh, well, Canada didn't really control the play or get the middle of the field.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well, no duh.
Yeah, they're Canada against Argentina.
Like, what do you expect?
Yeah, I just the discalibration.
Imagine Jesse March is like, you know what we're going to do against Argentina?
Yeah.
We're going to try to have possession.
Control
no counterattack.
Yeah,
like,
just have it the entire time.
Messy.
Kick it around. You could see, especially discrepancy with the two teams, just the first touch mm-hmm. and some of the passing.
Yeah.
Canada's passing in the midfield was a lot of butcher ball, mm-hmm. whereas Argentina is just like, oh, and there's another perfect
Velcro
pass.
Velcro to
like,
their foot.
Yeah. So bang, bang, bang. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. That didn't feel to me like the number one team on the planet versus the 49th team on the planet. And there being that much of a discrepancy where you went away from this going, man, we could, this program's never going to be anything, or this was an embarrassment, this was a debacle, this was awful. I was really proud of the group. I thought that they played really well. And if not, if Jonathan David could ever score a big goal in a big moment for Canada, he leads Lille in goals. I need to see the highlights. Yeah. I need to see proof that Jonathan David scores goals.
This is what's actually kind of fun now, where we've got the history with these guys now, with the run to the World Cup, with these other big games that they've played in the actual World Cup, leading up to this tournament,
the friendlies. We know the characters.
Now it's like we're starting to build reputations with this guy.
Yeah.
And I want to love him.
Yeah,
he's a really great player in Europe for Canada. But he's got to start popping a few in the old onion bag for me
come
to start.
On, man.
Like that one, that Schaffelberg, who we both were so impressed with when he came on.
Next.
The Maritime Messi. He comes on, changes the game. And he floats a perfect pass into him. Like, you can never, like, a lot of people will complain with strikers, oh, the service is no good, the service is no good. He had a couple on a platter, David, that he just didn't finish, and that one from Schaffelberg. If you're a world-class striker, you're playing for Lille, you're playing in one of the best leagues in the world, you're playing for your country, that's got to hit the back of the net 10 times out of 10. That makes it a 1-1 game, and you don't know what happened. So I love that I have these, like, fiery opinions now about guys who play over in Europe and now are playing for Canada. It's like, he's just got to be better. He just does. Like, we need you to score. You are one of the main guys. You're a very important guy for us. You gotta bury.
He and Eustáquio, the two guys, have real opportunities in the game. Two of your best three players.
Yeah, Eustáquio just heads it right at the Tendy. It's like, just find a corner, man. Anyways.
And then Tejan Buchanan had one of the all-time.
Argentina fan stood up and laughed at us, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a low moment.
I was like, oh, my God.
Tejan Buchanan, falls over, kicks it with his off leg, misses the net by, and she starts doing the nets over here move. That was one of the second goal that they scored.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the two goals they scored and that were the lowest moments of the game.
No question.
That Tejan kick. Okay. Tejan was one of the sweethearts, I would say, one of the big winners of the run and then the World Cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Schaffelberg.
Yeah.
So I had no idea who he was going into this game.
Mm-hmm.
None. Had never heard of him before in my life. And McKee's talking about him. He's going, Maritime Messi. And I think
by the way, I don't know. I saw Josh Cloak do it in his article. I don't know if he's the one who came up with it or not, but I saw Maritime Messi, and I think it was like his from when he was a kid, I guess. That was his nickname.
But
it's an incredible nickname, Maritime Messi.
I would imagine that is...
From Kentville, Nova Scotia. Shout out.
That kid, the game felt like it was really tilting for Argentina. They score the goal, and all of a sudden they've got possession a ton, and they're kind of just hemming Canada in. I don't know what the term is in soccer, but that's the hockey term. They're getting hemmed in. They're getting hemmed in their zone here.
Caved in a little bit.
Yeah, they're getting caved in. And it had the feeling of this game is going to end up being 4-0, 5-0. They're going to just start pumping our eyes shut in this soccer game. Good, respectable first half for you guys. You made a couple of saves. You were right there. You had your chances, but you didn't score in Argentina, and now you're dead. It was did you watch the Portugal game?
No, I didn't.
Their first one of the tournament?
Yeah.
I can't remember who they were playing. It was...
Czechia, was it? Was that first game against Czechia?
Yeah, might have been. Yeah. It was against a European country.
The Euros. Yeah. I think it was Czechia.
Yeah, it was Czechia?
Yeah.
Okay, so Czechia scores the first goal, but then Portugal from that moment on woke up and went, we're going to have the ball the whole time now, and we're just going to kick it around. And they scored a few minutes later, and anyway, they just dominated the possession for the rest of the game. I thought we were going to have that. I thought it was going to be embarrassment time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's kind of shaping my view of what today was. And then that Schaffelberg kid comes in, and he's noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch the game, it's so obvious when Alphonso Davies has the ball, and you go, oh, my God, this guy moves different. Oh, wait, that's one of the top players in the world.
He's a breathtaking runner.
It's beautiful runner.
Yeah.
Like the balls are different. Everything is much, much, much better when Davies has it compared to the rest of his teammates.
No question.
Schaffelberg had a little bit of
that. He had a bit of the look. He did.
He had a bit of the look.
He did.
He gallops.
Gallops.
A couple of his crosses, gorgeous. Mm-hmm. He's the one that fed it into David. Yeah. He was awesome. And now I've bought as much Schaffelberg stock as I can possibly buy.
I mean, this for Jesse Marsh is going to be one of his first big decisions, right? Where
I like him in this role, though.
Tejan and him play the same sort of position, the same kind of thing. I mean, you have to start him in your next game against Peru. Schaubelberg has to start it over Tejon and maybe do a reverse.
Oh, see, I think you keep doing that.
Oh, so you just bring him on as like the super sub?
You bring him on as the guy with fresh legs.
I love the way he looked. I was so impressed.
Unreal.
So, you know what?
The next game is must win.
I told you, though, the heartbreaking thing is that TFC traded him for general allocation money. I
want to talk about this.
He was on loan from Toronto to Nashville.
Yep.
And he was just on loan. It was when they brought in Signe and when they brought in Bernadeschi. And then they were like, yeah, okay, you can just keep them. It's like TFC, you let one of the bright young stars of Canada's men's national team go for literally, like, I don't know, 300K.
Dude.
It's absurd decision-making by TFC.
So I've never been a TFC guy.
I know.
I've enjoyed the big moments. Mm-hmm. I've rooted for
them. You're an Argos guy.
I'm an Argos guy.
You're picking at your BMO field teams, you're Argos all day. I get it.
If you complain about the impact the Argos have on the field, you're talking to the wrong guy when you talk to me.
Barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah. Let the big boys play on the turf. This is a football stadium to me, not a soccer stadium. Okay?
That's funny.
If that kid was on TFC,
for sure,
last night would have been a moment for me where I would have gone, I'm in. Mm-hmm. I would have been down there going, get me a Schaufelberg. Get me a Schaufelberg jersey. Get me a kit.
You might be getting, I mean, Canada's new gear is unbelievable. You might have to get a Schaufelberg Canada tarp. Their whites or reds are both beautiful, so you might have to get one.
They are really nice. Yeah. The only thing you and I talked about yesterday is soccer jerseys always look great.
Yeah.
And then you put them on a non-soccer player's body, and they hug all the wrong places.
Puma went through an era like 2016, 2017 with the EPL, where Arsenal, it's like Olivier Giroud's like, oh, yeah, I look great.
Yeah, you're not going to look
so
like that.
Good. And then, like, body-eating bangers and mash every morning. It's not looking as hot in it.
No, and that's my fear is especially if you get the red one, you go, oh, wait, how did I?
Just go a size up. Always go one size up with soccer jerseys.
Yeah, definitely you can't wear the tight one.
But I will say, and you mentioned it a little bit about the next game's a must win, the way we acquitted ourselves against Argentina,
I think
you have to be very, very excited and encouraged. Like, Chile is no joke. Chile is like a true, you know, they're a South American power. They have a tradition. Yeah. They've had players like Arturo Vidal.
Sid was on and he was going
Sanchez,
there.
They're a good team.
Because they're weirdly slotted below Peru.
Yeah, but that's not right.
No, that was what Sid was basically telling me.
Peru, I mean, they're South American sides. They're great teams. But we have a chance in both of those games. Well, the way we played against Argentina, we have skill, we have pace, we have guys. Well, we're supposed to have guys who can score. We're having a tough time at major tournaments.
Dude, this is what's so frustrating is that you would think that that was the one thing
that we could do.
That's what we did
the whole way through that run. Every game, we were scoring big goals.
We got these just baby defensive backs.
Yeah.
And you'd be thinking, oh, well, they're going to make huge mistakes and they're going to be a massive liability. Mm-hmm. And then they weren't. And you have your opportunities.
A couple breakaways, but.
Again, sure. Mm-hmm. There were a couple times where they get behind you. They're Argentina.
Yeah.
I expect that to happen a few times in a game.
Our favorite thing is like, hey, they're getting developed. They're getting developed. They're getting developed.
They were getting developed on the fly last night. They were getting a lot of development in. They were getting a lot of development in with Di Maria ripping down the right side all night long. I couldn't be happier with where it's at right now, other than that one thing, which is, hey, if we're supposed to have world-class goal scoring, if that's supposed to be one of our greatest strengths, maybe when we get those opportunities, finish a couple of those opportunities. Mm-hmm. Be nice to have, it's now two goals and four.
It's been a while.
It's two goals in four major games, Copa and World Cup.
Yeah, not good.
No.
Not good.
Need more than two. Last Schaufelberg thought, though, from the TFC thing, 100% would have got me in it. Whoever made that decision, that to me is a crushing blow. Because anybody on earth, again, a soccer rube like me can tell you Davies is great. Mm-hmm. Anybody can watch a soccer game and go, oh, wow, that guy really stands out. When someone is in your development system and you move off of a guy like that, mm-hmm. who is Canadian,
for money? Yes, for money.
That to me is one of your most important jobs, is you are supposed to be different from me in terms of identifying what talent is.
I'm trying to
and what is
going to
put
that.
Butts in the seats. So to move off of that kid for nothing, that's already, I'm so in soccer mode right now that I'm going, that's an all-time sports what if. What if TFC doesn't sell Schaufelberg for allocation money?
He's spectacular, man. My final thought on Canada versus Argentina. I will never, ever root for Argentina.
No, I hate Argentina.
Ever again.
I hate Argentina. And
like,
people go...
But that's good, though. They created a true rival. Like, I understand it, and it's like, I hate it. I will never root for them ever again.
Dude, people will be like, well, did you feel that way against Belgium? No.
I wasn't watching it with the most obnoxious Belgian.
For sure, but I was also, like, highly invested in this, right? We watched it with American soccer fans. We were in Hamilton.
Yeah.
In a section with American fans.
Yeah, I guess.
We walked up to the game with American fans. We really wanted that game. We hated Pulisic. He was such a diver. Yeah. He's your boy.
The LeBron James of soccer.
The LeBron James
not
of soccer.
Anymore. He's not on Chelsea anymore, so it's all good.
I don't think I hate the States as much as I hate Argentina now. Argentina, that one fan.
Oh, yeah.
And her fake boyfriend who kept trying to get involved. Another Argentinian guy. The way they comported themselves.
Yeah.
I am the most Brazilian guy. Like, Brazil and Argentina ever play in a meaningful game? I'm going to get, like,
that's a problem,
a Brazil jersey.
Because Brazil's been big-time chokers recently.
I don't care. I'm a Brazil guy. My second favorite soccer team from this point forward is whoever plays Argentina.
Preach it, brother.
I hate them. Oh, yeah. Hate them.
Agree.
This has ruined a lifetime of me and Argentinian relationship. I always liked Argentina.
I rooted so hard for them in the World Cup.
Dude.
And I feel sick about it.
I'm just devastated. I wish I could take it back. All the things that I said about Argentina.
Vive la France!
No. The rest of my career, all I will ever do is... I'm like, remember when Sid made that video of Messi's a fraud?
Yeah.
I agree. He's overrated.
Couldn't talk against
us. Couldn't score against Canada. No. He's like, yeah, I hate Messi. I hate Di Maria. I hate all of Argentina. Can't stand their fans. Classless fans. No worse team on earth to me. No worse team. Worst team on earth. Them and Montreal Canadiens, the two teams that I just do not accept that you cheer for.
Okay.
So, yeah. Thanks, Argentina.
Really
brutal. All right, let's take a quick break and let's come back and let's talk about Leafs offseason expectations.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I got to say, too, I was so fired up about soccer last night that I've been... Normally, I try to not tweet.
No. I was tweeting after storm.
We were both doing some sneaky tweeting. Like, I was tweeting on the side, just little angry
couple tweets.
Yeah, the boys.
The one that just drove me the most crazy was when there was clearly a foul on the edge of the box. Again, Schauffelberg clearly gets hacked down, leg between his legs, falls down. It looked like it could have been a penalty,
that
but it wasn't.
That ref was awful.
But that's what drove me crazy. I hate that.
Yeah.
And so you only see it in soccer. You never see this in any other sport. Once in a while in hockey, but very rarely. The ref should never be the maddest guy on the field.
No, dude, he was outrageous.
He was, like, screaming in their face. It's like, have a little bit of composure. No. It was insane.
I swear to God, that guy was against Canada.
Oh, yeah. That's all I could
feel. Hey, listen, this is a great way for us to pivot into Leafs talk. We never do ref talk.
Shocker.
Yeah, we don't do.
Oh, they want Argentina to win the Copa again. Yeah. They want the Golden Boys to win again. What a surprise.
You and I are not ones to do ref talk and really ever complain about the refs, but that guy was beyond awful.
No, he was awful.
I hated him.
Awful.
But yeah, I was sneaking doing some tweets being like, eight beers.
Eight goddamn whiskey sours.
I was like, I hate Argentina. That was the whole tweet. So I was doing some sneaky tweeting. I'll do some sneaky tweets off to the side. Follow me on Twitter at JD Buckus and on Instagram at JD Buckus. That's Sammy McKee. Okay, so the Oilers play tonight.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait.
I know.
Can't wait.
This is as good as it gets.
Yeah,
this is as good as it gets. Connor McDavid, truly, I think. Okay, what do you actually think about this take? Because I was going to do Leafs first, but no, let's do Little Oilers. This actually feels like it could be the most important cup in my lifetime. Mm-hmm. Just given that McDavid's down 3 games in a series, mm-hmm. and now he's putting his team on his back. He's already got 1 Gretzky record. He could easily grab 2 Gretzky records. He could have the most points ever in a playoff run, being down 3 games to nothing, and then basically storming back and dominating. I think out of all the most memorable cups that I will ever have, most memorable performances, given who he is in the game, where he's at in his career, where this series was at, how much respect I have for the Panthers, the guy whose record he's breaking, this might be the most impressive Stanley Cup if he's able to win it.
I think there's definitely a conversation for this being the biggest accomplishment in the history of the game if he comes back and does it.
Like,
it's just because it's all him.
What's the case against?
You go down 0-3 and he has 8 points in game 4 and game 5 combined. It's just, it's otherworldly stuff. You know, Kipper said it best a couple days ago that everyone seems to be getting slower, and he's just getting faster.
Dude, I thought the same thing in that last game. I went, he looks fresh.
Yeah.
He looks like they just...
But that's a credit. Like, people, you know, he's always in the gym. He's a mutant. Mm-hmm. And people have gotten on him for being so driven and so, like, how he doesn't care about anything else. And he's in the gym so much. And he had that injury early in the year. And people were wondering, like, you know, you got to take a couple days off here and there. It was like a tweak or whatever.
No.
But this is why you do it. Because you get to this point, and he's clearly got all the God-given talent in the world. No question. He's touched, you know, he's the Messi of hockey. He's touched.
Yeah, but he plays so hard.
But the thing is, it's the commitment to the game,
yep,
and the dog in him and the just like the killer instinct.
Yep.
You just can't teach that.
Man, this is going to be a comparison that pisses people off, but I once heard we'll never see Michael Jordan again, mm-hmm, because we're never going to get the greatest athlete on earth, the most talented guy, mm-hmm, in the number one competitor's brain, with, yeah, the number one competitor brain, all those things combined. I think the reason that people gravitate so much to Kobe Bryant is a very similar thing where you go like, this is not just the best of the best. Mm-hmm. This is not just one of the greatest players ever. He cares the most. He cares more than everybody else. And that's what you want from your athletes, right?
Him and McKinnon are like the two, like one and two, yeah, competitive
but
nature
guys. But
that's
what guys. I'm saying is I think McDavid is the top dog for caring and, yeah, playing hard and never like taking shifts off.
No.
He cheats every once in a
of
while.
Course.
Like, you know,
but he's also the sickest guy in the league. He gets to do it.
But that's it. He plays, yeah, hard and he's nasty. And, yeah, he's at the podium going, hey, I want you to doubt us again. Oh, we're going to drag him back to Alberta. Like,
and the beard right now.
That's it. No.
He just looks amazing.
It's Michael Jordan-esque right, yeah, now, what he's doing, yeah, which is that best athlete on the planet, or at least best hockey player athlete on the, yeah, planet, with number one competitor. And what a just delight. What a treat to watch him. Yeah. And that's the one thing I'll say to Leaf fans right now that are rooting against Edmonton. I get it, because the closer they get to this, the more I'm like, holy crap, this would be an all-time win for Edmonton, and this is like the Canadian thing. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to root for him.
Well,
it's hard not to just go, I respect you so much that... Yeah. I'm certainly not going to be heartbroken about an Edmonton Stanley Cup. I've already said I think the Alberta teams are straight up different to me in terms of the way I perceive the other Canadian teams. Like, if Vancouver was going to win or Montreal was going to win, I wouldn't care if they had the best player on earth. Mm-hmm. There is something a little bit different about Edmonton, and I'll throw Winnipeg in there too, in Calgary. But man, oh man, oh man, he is just... I've never seen anything like this. This is what it must have felt like to watch Bobby Orr. Like, when you're like, oh, whoa, what the hell is this? That's how I feel watching him play in playoff games.
So I said yesterday, and I'll do it a little bit again here, that I have been rooting against them the whole way through. And because I think they're Canada's best chance here, obviously.
Probably you've been texting me.
But no, I've been rooting against them. I have been. Like, I.
You literally were texting me the other night being like, I'm heartbroken. The Oilers
no,
lost.
No, no, I'm back. I'm back. I don't love the Oilers.
Yeah, you're like, I'm
just back
Oiler.
And forth because... Yeah. As a Leaf fan, as, mm-hmm, a guy who...
No, I get it. I'm the same way.
Has always said that the only way I want the cup back
for sure
in Canada is down Yonge Street. Like, yeah, there's no way I want another team to have this. But there reaches a certain point where you just have to be able to say you witnessed something like this.
Yeah, that's it. He has entered
this
Sid
is like,
territory.
This
where
is 23
just...
Tom Brady comeback. Yeah. This is LeBron against the Warriors comeback. This is like Red Sox coming back on the Yankees, yeah, 3-0. Like, this is an all-time moment that we're witnessing here. And, yeah, it's one singular guy who's orchestrating it. Like, there's been other contributions. Connor Brown getting the shorty. Skinner making some big, yeah,
sure,
saves. Like, their bottom six has been contributing
two
more.
Two shorties in a row.
They've been great. There's been other guys who are contributing. But the main guy who's stirring the drink and the play he makes... On the Corey Perry one, and Sportsnet put out a video with like this piano music under it and him going slow motion.
Oh, no, I'll cry.
It's poetry in, yeah, motion. It's the
I'll
most
cry.
Beautiful thing you'll ever see. I love,
yeah,
Connor McDavid.
Splitting those guys.
I like that's how much I love this guy, is that I'm willing, yeah, to put aside my extreme biases where I don't want another Canadian team to win it. This man deserves it. Give him, crown him. Crown him. Let him have it. It's time. It's time. And if they don't even, he's going to get the Conn Smythe. He's going to get, no matter what happens tonight, he's getting the Conn Smythe.
Yeah.
He's going to throw it into the crowd like Elias Pettersson did with his silver medal at the World Juniors. Everyone killed him. He's just going to throw the Conn Smythe into the crowd. He's not going to want it. Like, that's a tough one to, you know, to lose. But I don't know, man. I think
he would, that's his actual nightmare.
Yeah, for sure.
He does not want to win the Conn Smythe.
No.
I'm like, if you're a voter... And you actually care about Connor McDavid.
Don't vote
And they
for him.
Lose this
vote
game.
For Bobrovsky.
Or they lose the next one. Yeah. Do not vote for him.
I know.
The anger that will be in that man's eyes, yeah, accepting
and
that
him
award.
Him doing the media afterwards, and like, what's it mean to you? And he's going to be like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care.
And he'll mean it.
Yeah.
That guy will mean it in the, yeah, don't let him, RIP Jerry West, don't let him become Jerry West.
Honestly.
Don't let this be a thing.
So the last thing I'll say quickly here on McDavid.
Are you a vote for the losing guy, though? No. I'm a generally never give it to a losing guy, but this is...
There's only two instances where I ever thought it should have gone to the losing team, mm-hmm. and one of them had happened with J.A. Shiger, because I've never seen a better performance from a singular player, honestly, a goalie.
I thought LeBron could have got it.
And that was the other one. Yeah. That's the one where it didn't get it, when Iguodala got it. Yeah. Where he's like,
the worst.
He guarded him. He's like, didn't he have 35, 10, and 10?
No. Like, there's a few things that history would like to have back when it comes to Super Bowl MVPs or any of those.
That might be number one on the list.
Yeah. That
is
really
absurd.
That's got to be Andre Iguodala being finals MVP, looking back on it.
Guarded him so well.
Insane.
Triple double average.
Insane that one ended up having.
The McDavid thing. This is something that Jason Gregor brought up on our show the other day, and I didn't really – that he's got a really good shot to get to 2,000 points as the second guy ever to get to 2,000 points.
Yeah.
It's something I hadn't considered, but he's almost at 1,000 in 620 games.
Oh, do it again.
He's on track to truly be, like, close to the GOAT, one of the best of all time. And he needs to get his cup. He needs to get one cup. And it's, like, I think it's different – when you say, like, guys have multiple cups in different eras, mm-hmm. right? Where you look back in those Oilers cups and it's like they have five cups or six cups or whatever. But I think one is probably equivalent to like one and a half or two cups back then, one now, because the league's so deep, it's so mm-hmm. competitive. He needs to get this one because you never know how close you're going to get again.
That's why I'm saying this is the most meaningful cup.
You have to get this one.
This is why I look at it and go, you, this would be number one. The fact that you're in a Canadian market with all the pressure in the world. You're the number one player on the planet with all the pressure in the world. You're down three games.
We talked about pressure yesterday.
Break the Gretzky record.
He doesn't feel it. He doesn't feel it. He levitates above it. He's too good.
But then also to be in the salary cap era where you've got $5 million tied into a goaltender that's not even on the bench and a defenseman that's making 9.5 sheets that
and Connor
is a
Brown's
minus
contract
100.
That's making – it's crazy.
The fact that you're able to just go, yep, who cares? And also, and again, because this is a, Leafs, we're in Toronto. Yeah. Another reminder of when you cry about, oh, well, this guy's making a million much, and this guy's doing that, and that's why Marner and Matthews can't win is because Tavares makes Is Tavares making $5.5 million too much?
No.
Like?
Probably three.
Sure.
Three tops.
Just saying.
Get you a Connor Brown.
$5.5 million for their goalie who doesn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Who's off the date. They literally have the handicap where it's like, hey, we gave you a handicap of minus $5.5 million off the cap.
Well, no.
Because you get Connor McDavid.
Well, he would have gone down, so they would get a bit of relief. I think
it's sure,
like
whatever it is. It's just like, hey.
I know the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're with the scratch golfer.
Honestly, that's it.
You got to have the handicap. Yeah. And he's like, don't worry, I'll still be in the cup.
They're giving strokes.
Yeah, exactly.
They're giving strokes.
That's
they're in game six.
Yeah, just
it's
like,
crazy.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay, Leafs.
Crazy.
I actually think that this run with the Oilers has been even more of a wake-up call of what the Leafs don't have and even more of an argument to not bring it back because they just don't have this. They don't have the juice of a McDavid. It's kind of... again, Matthews was hurt, and he had his awesome game, too, and I do think that he's going to be able to find...
Such an embarrassing thing to say.
I know, but I'm just saying...
You're right.
I'm just saying that it's crazy.
He had the game, too, in the first round.
For sure, but I'm just saying at least it was a real sign of encouragement before he did get injured, so I'm giving him the caveats.
Yes,
but
good.
I don't know how you could have a pulse and watch the Leafs these past 8 years and go, oh, well, they've got some of this juice. Like, no, they don't have that... extra it factor of the McDavid of, I can't wait for you to doubt me again. When the Leafs get doubted, they're like, I can't believe you doubted us again. The media mentioned it, the players and the fans, they hate us.
The puck didn't go in. We had some good looks.
We had bounces. It's like they're a loser mentality squad. And the core four has been built on this, and we've known it for quite some time. And the more I watch the Oilers, the more becoming almost apathetic about the potential for this to roll over and watch the core four again for another regular season. Like, I think that this is somehow making it worse that the Oilers are doing this. And yet we're a couple weeks away now from free agency. We're a week away from the draft. The draft's next Friday.
Yeah, they're actually having the draft in the third period of game 7.
It's so late. Yeah, but I love the condensed schedule. I love how it just goes like bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, no, but that should have happened like a month ago.
Sure. How are you, like, what is your level of optimism right now that something's going to change? Because I saw Kipper's report where they're like, whoa, Leafs might like Jake DeBrusk. And I went, this is the capital of the others, right? Because you and I always talk about the outside of the core. What are they sticking on and going, oh, and ooh, it's a big guy who is a good transition player. And that's what the Leafs need. And you go, no, what the Leafs need is not the same four guys to be coming back and playing for this team again.
I really want to say that I just have no idea. I really don't know which way they're going to go because the smoke screens are out, bud.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing the extent, I guess.
No, but the Marner camp stuff is real.
But I know, but I saw the tweet about Biz saying that they're looking at an extension. And, you know, Dragger's talking about an extension. They're talking about trades. They're talking about, I don't know what to believe. And I can't really believe that Brad Treliving is thinking about extending Mitch Marner in this market. Because, sure, you can have the conversations about knocking on the door a million times, and one of these times you finally break through. But they've just never shown any ability to do it outside of 1 year where they made it to the second round and won one game in the second round. Like, he's the obvious one to trade. Obviously, we've been talking about it forever. But I can't believe that they would come back with him. Or the other scenario is bring him back, not sign him, and then let him walk to UFA. That's a franchise ruiner. You can't do that. You can't let him go for nothing. They're in a really tough spot with him. I don't really know how this is going to play out.
I want the extension.
You want the extension.
Here's why. You got to give him the extension, but you can't give him any no move.
Okay, well, he's not going to do it.
Well, then.
End of story.
Okay, well, then that's the way it is. But that is the crucial point for Treliving and the hardball. And if you're Mitch Marner too, that's actually a way for the fans to not despise you. Because I do think that it's very much like we get a little too granular with it at times where we're online and we live in media and we think about the way Marner's perceived. And ultimately this is a multimillionaire who's spending his time golfing and in Muskoka and traveling around. He's with his close family and friends. And when he's at the game and he's at the arena and he scores a goal, the fans still cheer. They're not going to boo him.
Yeah.
When he goes to the youth night?
Yeah.
Most of the kids are still wearing Marner jerseys, right? I don't think he's going to feel it. He might feel it more than some other guys because I think he and his camp are more online.
They seek it out.
Yeah, exactly. They're always looking for it. Like I said, they'll be listening to this right now. Like,
absolutely.
There's just no doubt about it. They listen to every single thing. They're taking it all in. There's somebody within the group that clocks it all, that is basically
keeping receipts.
They keep all the receipts. If I'm him, that's what I would go for is, okay, so I can get the most money here, right? Because that extension, you can still get the most the most years. So you're still given that extra year, but your one capitulation, if your Mitch is going, hey, man, we know you can't take like a massive haircut on the money. We know you're going to get the William Nylander contract, essentially. Like, that's going to happen. So why not get that here? Why not get financially secured? Why not get the opportunity to rehabilitate your image here in Toronto and play out that 1 year? And then if it doesn't work again, we're going to hold the cards in terms of what your future might be. That's, to me, at this point, the best case scenario, because the pie in the sky stuff about trading him to Vegas just doesn't sit right with me. There's two reasons. One, it just feels so much like, well, Vegas is the natural suitor for anybody that's like a depreciated asset.
They're the depressed asset killers where they find him and they turn out to be studs.
They're like the Lakers in terms of trade rumors where everyone's always rumored to go to the Lakers. And it's like, oh, Lakers are going to trade for this guy. Lakers are going to trade for every single player who ever played. Vegas is now kind of becoming that for hockey. So I do wonder if it's a little bit of that and a little bit of that team being like, no, 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 we would actually do this. Of course, we would try to turn a couple of pending free agent defensemen into Mitch Marner on an extension. And of course, this is going to work out for us. But even when I see those Marner trades, I look at some of them and I go, all right, shit, they don't like good player, good defenseman, getting a pending UFA D-man who is, you're still losing that Marner trade.
Yeah.
And doing it under the gun, doing it with him having all the control, it's just hard for me to imagine the Leafs doing it. And I don't want to see Mitch Marner play for the Toronto Maple Leafs anymore. I think that he's gotten a bit of a raw deal in terms of he takes more heat than any other Leaf. It's because he's the last guy to sign the contract. It's because his last contract was so aggressively bad and the way that their camp handled it and all of it. Like, there's a million reasons to be upset with Marner, but I do know that it's my dumb sports fan brain that is going like, just make the trade, just make the trade, just make the trade.
You've had the sober second thoughts though, because we've had these conversations multiple times where you've been like, I don't care if they lose the trade. I don't care if
but
they lose the trade.
Because I've always thought they were going to lose the trade.
They have to look different.
The thing that, this is the thing about losing the trade that has always bothered me. I can't stand the framework of, well, you're going to lose the trade. So again, okay.
Yeah.
Like, there's other ways to win it, which is the goal is not to just lose the trade and then be a worse hockey team and then never get to where
you
are.
Well, the cap space that you would get from one of these trades is a massive asset.
That's
where you can move something else out.
That's it, is try to get creative. And I do think that there is a loser mentality in that room. They always talk about how great it is and how they love each other and that they believe in one another. But ultimately, I think that it's the same thing where you've experienced the same thing over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. You start to expect that. You start to manifest it. And I don't think that these guys have that dog in them. I don't think that they have that gear to kick in and go, this time it's going to be different. They've been given that in ample opportunity over and over and over again, and they've gotten through one playoff round. I've seen enough.
One of the things that really jumped out to me, and I know it's Ryan Reeves, I know it's a free agent signing last year, but in his first Zoom availability, I remember he's sitting on his patio and he was talking and he said, I've heard it's a quiet room.
Yeah.
I've heard it's a quiet room is honestly that you might as well, that's the most offensive thing you could say about any hockey locker room is I've heard it's a quiet room. And that tells you a lot about the way it is. And I know Ryan Reeves is the kind of guy he is, but there's a perception people talk. The extension thing, I think I like the premise of what you're saying in terms of playing out next year on your original contract and then having your next one kick in with the no movement clause. I think that idea is great.
Why not?
Kampf got a no move clause. Like, there's just no way that Mitch Marner's camp, Darren Ferris, everybody involved, if they're signing an extension in Toronto, they're going to want the guarantee of controlling where they were.
Yeah.
Every single person.
You give them the limited no move clause. That's the capitulation that you make.
Every single guy that's ever signed a contract here has gotten their cake and eaten it too. And I don't see the number one cake and eat it too guy ever signing a contract that doesn't have a no move clause on it, even if it's limited.
Because the number one cake and eat it too guy does understand the way the market feels about him.
For sure.
And has to understand that if he extends in Toronto, Mitch Marner, no full no move, 11 sheets a year.
No, it's
8 years.
The vitriol is going to be brutal.
He'll probably be, I'm trying to think about the least popular athletes that have ever been in this city. He's going to be one of them amongst a certain group of people. Mm-hmm. He is just always going to have the target on his back the rest of his career here. And let's be honest, I think that he's proven that he is not the kind of guy that deals well with added pressure. He's not McDavid.
No.
He's not like, sure, bring it on, world, and then he'll just take care of business.
No.
He is the type of guy,
and
which is so weird about his group's lack of desire to go try somewhere else too, because you would think, hey, man, ultimately it's one thing for the people around you to be saying something, but for you personally, wouldn't you love to go play in Los Angeles on the beach and have
playing in Toronto's probably pretty sick, you know?
Yeah, but I'm just saying
it's
that.
It's where he's from. It's where,
But don't you want to be liked? Don't you want to go somewhere and have people root you on and have them really care about you and not have to deal with this, have to deal with you and I breaking down this? Anyway.
I know if it was me, I'd want to get the hell out of here. But these guys are, they're uber competitive. They want to prove people wrong.
No,
that's a huge part of it.
You're right. I think that's too much of we'll show you.
That's what it is.
But then they go, we'll show you. And then they never do.
And then it's here's nothing.
Here's nothing. And then they're like, well, it was your fault, media and fans. Yeah. You put too much. And we had our chances. And, that's the narratives that you guys want to craft about our room. But we know different.
I do think that if there's a world, which this world does not exist, that if he signs a somewhat team-friendly contract.
No, because he'd have to take less than what he's making now.
No, if he took exactly what he's making now or a little bit more and didn't have a no-move clause.
Hey, guess what? I'll tell you this right
now.
Never
happening.
I do not want him at what he's making now.
Yeah, I think that's... I think
on
the cap,
even the cap,
with the cap going up. No, that's not right.
He's
close to 100-point winger who plays Selke-level defense.
Yep,
kills
in the regular
penalties,
season.
For sure. But you still got to get to the playoffs.
Dude,
he's an $11 million player.
He is the consummate regular season player. He is... Could not be any different than Johnny Gaudreau. Same things.
No, that's wrong. He's better
same
than Johnny
Gaudreau. No, I'm just saying that Johnny Gaudreau had the same stuff where it was like, oh man, this guy's lights out. You got to pay this guy. Can't lose this guy in a trade. You watched him in the playoffs when he was up against McDavid in a big moment. You went, where is he? Mm-hmm. What line is he on? What number does he wear? And I feel the same way with Mitch Marner. Even this playoffs, there was nothing more Mitch Marner than having his spectacular goal when all the pressure was off and they're down and the game is essentially over. And he's like, look at this, highlight reel.
How about through the legs, backhand on one knee?
Sick, man.
It was a sick goal, though.
Yeah, great.
Probably the nicest goal of his career.
Do it when it's 1-0.
I know.
Like, do what Connor Brown has done.
I know.
do that.
Ultimately, like, at the end of the day here, it's training camp. It's September. We're starting up. Is he a Toronto Maple Leaf?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Here's who I think are the Toronto Maple Leafs to start training camp.
All of them.
Yeah. And welcome.
Everyone.
And get ready to learn Jake DeBrusque is bringing a new... Jake DeBrusque, having been on the Bruins, knows what kind of an element. It's like, wait,
Leaf
didn't
killer,
we get that with Bertuzzi?
Leaf killer comes here.
Yeah, hey.
Kill anyone.
And I actually like DeBrusque.
Me too.
Like, I really do think that would be a good signing for this team.
Me too.
I'm very not opposed to it. It's just, like, this is the same thing. Bertuzzi, DeBrusque, I don't care. Bunting, all of the guys that are around the core.
It doesn't matter.
It's going to drive the bus.
How many times can you do it? 9 times?
Yeah, I know.
Where you paper new guys to the core and have it work and not work? It's just...
And then there's this thing, too, which is, and I actually said this ahead of the Nylander thing, which is eventually they're going to go into this season, and then Tavares is going to be in a UFA, and they're probably going to play real hardball with him because he's going to have far less options, and he does have a young family here.
Yeah.
He wanted to be here. And if you're talking about, like, actual legacy rehabilitation stuff for Tavares, I think for him, especially as he gets later in his career wanting to win, he will have a bunch of competing interests that will work well for the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is, hey, dude, you can still make millions of dollars. You're already rich. You can stay here planted in Toronto, and people are going to love you for taking a huge haircut, much like the other guys that have done it, the Spezzas, the Giordanos. Of course, he's different because he's going to be more valuable than them hitting free agency. But if you recall, Gio left a couple million dollars a year on the table when he did it. And I think it was Spezza that had the quote of, if I could have taken less, I would have. Right? Or was it Giordano? It was one of those two guys.
He's I would take it less just so I can be with Kyle Dubas. That's all I can.
Yeah.
Kyle Dubas' best friend.
He's an intern, actually, in Pittsburgh. He's unpaid. It's just like, oh, Kyle, you're the
love you, Kyle.
You're the coolest guy.
I actually, when that happened, I was please get the Men in Black stick so I can never remember. I don't want to have the memories of me liking Jason Spezza.
I don't even want to. It just reminded me that I probably have a million I Love Spezza tweets out there.
I'm going to go delete them. I'm doing that right now.
I think I have like a Spezza Leafs Road tweet, I'm sure. Anyway, I think that you're going to have this whole idea of, well, don't worry, Tavares is going to be off the books next year and you're going to save so much money because you're going to bring him back at $5 million less.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just feel like, what, it's a punt season? It's a get to Tavares' end of his contract season?
Well, that's a part of, yeah, I mean, it's just going to be the same thing. A part of it that, you know, trading Marner to have different cap space and then having Tavares off the books the following season, that's another really scary outcome, too. Oh, by the way, I'm just looking at your tweets with Spezza.
Don't read them.
Oof. You got to get to deleting, pal.
Buddy, I loved them.
Delete.
He was awesome for us.
I mean, he was honestly the only one who cared.
Can I tell you something too, though? Yeah. As a guy who lived in Ottawa during the peak of the rivalry, it was also so nice to try to be like, he's our favorite player to Sens fans.
Some
of those tweets.
He never loved being a Sen like he loved being a Leaf.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
So some of those tweets are done with the direct purpose of
triggering Sens fans.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and we'll do a little pod only on Markstrom because we got to do a couple minutes on this. So subscribe to the podcast, leave 5 stars, and we'll talk about the goalies on the other side. Okay, podcast only. Yeah, we're starting. Yeah, leave that now, dude. No, he's rolling.
He's rolling?
He's rolling, but he's going on peeing, yeah.
Okay.
Buddy, I swear to God.
He's rolling?
I'm telling you, I truly believe this take.
Mm.
From having hired a bunch of Gen Z guys, worst bladders in the league. I've never seen anything like it.
I'm pretty bad.
They have one coffee, and they'll be in and out of here. Like, they're scurrying out.
A liter of water this morning plus coffee, and I have only peed once. So
I'm
nuts. A camel.
Yeah.
I am trending towards having to pee right now, but I can wait.
Listen,
I'm an adult.
That's it.
Yes.
I'm telling you, these guys are like little...
I have to pee.
You know when you see little kids grabbing their junk, and they're like, yeah, and then you're like, do you have to pee? And they're like, no. And you're like, yeah, you do. Let's go pee. That's them all the time. They're constantly just, I have to be.
You could say they are piss babies.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, sorry, Gen Z. I know some of you listen to Leafs Talk and some of you listen to the JD Bunks. I actually have kids reach out every once in a while.
There's
actually
nothing more exciting than when a young person comes up to me and they're like,
hey, I really enjoy
this.
I'm like, nice.
Thank you.
Sports is in your hands.
Youth.
You're the torchbearers.
Yes.
We're handing it over to you.
Carry the sports, youth.
Don't ruin it. I'm very much in like a worried about ruining it stuff too. Like I saw, as a quick side tangent, but I saw Bill Simmons made a joke about how he wants the Celtics to kidnap LeBron James' son, where they like draft him because they're like, oh, hold him hostage. And it's clearly a joke on the podcast, and it got plastered everywhere all over the internet. Like, Bill Simmons says hostage.
Oh, my God.
I went, this is where we're at with sports. Yeah. And Jesus. And like, yeah, all the
I
websites.
I missed that.
Yeah,
when was that?
It was this morning. I woke up to scrolling Twitter.
Oh,
I was looking at, and I heard that pod, and I went,
haha, that's
are you
funny.
Kidding? Like, I was like, oh, that's kind of a funny thing.
It is.
And there's a movie that was when we were growing up called Celtic Pride, which was with, I think, Dan Aykroyd. Anyways, I can't remember who's in it, but they actually kidnapped the Utah Jazz star player for the like NBA championships against Boston. Yeah.
I've never even heard of
that. It's an old school 90s comedy movie.
Watch that.
And yeah, I think it's Damon Wayans.
Really?
He's the star, yeah. And anyway, it's just, I went, this is nuts. Anyways.
I know this is a side tangent, but draft Bronny Raptors. Absolutely. Be the Bronny.
I couldn't
team.
Be more against drafting Bronny.
No, draft the hell out of him. We suck anyway.
I just
bring on Bronny.
I couldn't be more against it.
Maybe he'll sign here.
I just
if
think
it meant LeBron signs with the Raptors next year, you're not drafting Bronny.
No, but that's not going to happen.
Why not?
He'll force the trade out. I'm saying like he's not going to play. He's not going to sign a two-way contract. So all the media attention around it would just be it'd be too much. I don't want to do Bronny talk every week on the show next year. And guess what? Now it's
as a hockey show.
No, I guess what?
I don't
now
care.
I've just you're welcome. Anyone who wanted Bronny in Toronto because I literally just made it happen. I just locked it in. Anyways, back to Leafs talk. So I wanted to do the goalie thing because, we talked a little bit about DeBrusque. We talked a little bit about Marner. But I was never really a Markstrom guy. Let me lay it out for you this way. I really do believe in Joe Woll.
No.
And I know he's injury prone. But I believe in who he is as a player.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been more of a, bring in a really quality backup that if you need to can eat a bunch of games, try to find this year's version again of Martin Jones. Maybe that's Hildeby. As a guy who can give you a runway and actually give you some time in the net, have a little bit of depth at the position, but really hope that this guy is going to carry the mail for you because I really believe that when he's at his best, he is awesome. I've seen it. I've seen the flashes of it. I believe in it. Mm-hmm. But yes, the injury track record at this point, like he just doesn't play games, man. It's 4 years of this where he's proven he gets hurt all the time. He got hurt again in the playoffs this year, making what is ultimately like a pretty routine save. That's two injuries this year
and
on routine saves.
The routine save, the first one was a flutter puck off the half board.
Exactly.
And
you're right.
Ankle exploded.
It wasn't even a save. But when I saw the price for Markstrom and the fact that Calgary retained.
Yeah. Books was on Real Kipper and Bourne yesterday beside himself about he said that he scouted Kevin Ball for 8 years, knows the player well, says he's a third pairing guy, says that they didn't eat money. Conroy got fleeced. Like that is an absolute fleece. And the fact that they're paying Markstrom, what is it, $4.5 million next year for 2 years? They have Jake Allen and like that's the best, one of the best goalie tandems that you can have.
Yeah, I just think that one was a blown opportunity. Now it actually puts more pressure on Tree to get something done. Now, because my brain feels, again, really stupid going, okay, wait. So would you have rather have traded the pick and had Markstrom and at salary retention and have a duo of Markstrom and Woll?
Yes.
Or keep your pick and have Brossois and Woll? And
well,
I go,
my whole take on this. I'm sick of the lottery tickets since Freddie left. And Freddie was, you know,
Brossois is just another like Mrazek-esque level guy. I do like Brossois more. And I think that him, if he goes at $2 million, is actually like a fine and very good contract. But yeah, it's a little scary.
You're going to want, it's going to be great when Joe Wall's your starting goalie. And then by American Thanksgiving, it's Brossois and Hildeby for the next 3 months of the season.
Ugh.
Are you looking forward to that?
No.
Brossois
Hildeby is going to be the...
Since Freddie left, and you know my thoughts on Freddie, can't stand him, but he was a legitimate NHL goalie. They played too much in the regular season. He always
gassed
out.
They broke him down.
They always did.
Yeah.
but he was a legit NHL goalie.
They were like, we love this car. We're driving it every day, and we're doing it in city traffic.
Since he left, it's been lottery tickets, and they've been papering this stuff to Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner's core. The core's prime. They've been taping these lottery ticket goalies to it. Samsonov, who I know you love, had his moments, was good in the first round last year, but ultimately not good enough. Jack Campbell, not good enough. Mrazek, not good enough. Just all these guys in these playoff series have always been the second best goalie. And it's just, you have to go out there and find a real goalie. Even if it's, I know like Soros, people are like, oh, he's a small guy. Even if it's Soros
is the man.
But even if it's him for the 1 year and you see what Wall can do with a real starter in front of him, and maybe he's healthier, maybe he outplays Soros, and maybe he's, but like just going into the season next year with Wall and Anthony Stolarz or Brassois with another year gone of Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and William Nylander's prime is a terrifying thing. You've tried all these different goalies. Go get a real goalie. And to me, Markstrom was a perfect fit. He's 34 years old. He's got 2 years left on his contract. It's a perfect thing to pair with Wall.
I think he would have looked good in the colors, too.
Would have looked good in the colors. Always great gear. Yeah. Always excellent nice setup.
That's what I mean. I think the setup, you would have looked at it and been like, nasty.
And now he goes to New
Jersey.
That
matters to me, by the way.
Now he goes to New Jersey, where our boy Sheldon Keefe is walking into one of the best situations in the league, and he's going to get a really good team. 110-point team a year before last.
I was going to say, I almost bottom dollar that New Jersey's going to have a better year than Toronto next year.
Oh, there's no question. So, yes. And I said this yesterday on Kipper Bourne, I'll say it to you. Leafs are going to take a step back. They're going to be the 7th seed, they're going to be a wild card team. They're going to play the Devils in the first round. They're going to lose to Sheldon Keefe and the Devils in the first round of the playoffs next year.
Would you rather lose to Boston again or to Sheldon Keefe?
Boston again, 10 times out of 10.
No, I'd rather
Boston. Lose to sign me up for Boston. I can deal with that pain. I don't want new pain. No, like, I just rip off that old scab. No, don't cut me again.
No, I've genuinely reached my limit of losing to Boston.
Nah,
I swear. I've reached
my... Did you see that stats for us? Who's the sports that stats guy?
I don't...
They hate Toronto sports.
No, I know.
Like, I love it because I use their stats all the time.
No, it's just that they know.
They're like, 20 straight losses to Boston teams for Toronto sports. No, I'm like,
they just know.
Come on!
They know.
I know.
What gets the people going.
I know. Sports that stats, I love you.
I just can't do any more Boston losses. I would take New Jersey 10 times out of 10. I just to have them to beat. I actually think that this is so sad. I think beating Boston is like if the Leafs beat the Bruins, that's the closest thing to any of the teams winning a championship. it's like obviously Raptors, Leafs, Jays, championships, Argos matter the most to me. After those things. Beat the Bruins in a playoff series, I'd like hang a banner in my office.
Imagine, you know, Leaf X in the first round this year fired one in overtime game 7. How the conversations would be different. Maybe not, because they probably would have got wallpapered by Florida and it wouldn't have mattered, but just how fun that would have been finally slayed the dragon. It's like,
it felt so good. It would feel so good.
Have a parade for that.
Yeah, I know. Like, beat Boston parade,
honestly.
Anyway, I think I'm with you, though, just the price for Markstrom. Here's my only Soros thought, because I'm a Soros guy. I love Soros.
Love him.
But I'm making too many cross-sport references today, we now know that small point guards don't age well, right? It's my Kyrie thing of why I think that the Mavericks window is closing. It's going to close real fast. Is even for a guy that can make all the shots, you lose a little bit of a step. We saw it with Chris Paul.
Always broke down every playoff.
It's just, we've seen it, frankly, in this market with Kyle Lowry. Like Kyle Lowry, when you had a tandem of him and DeRozan, the guys that are the sub 6'4 guards come NBA playoff time, especially as the age, is not really a history of them having success. And I wonder what that looks like for a sub-6-foot goalie as he enters his 30s and he maybe loses a step. I don't think that it's going to be like immediate, but you look at Bobrovsky, for example, and how people went, oh, the contract's so bad and he's aged poorly into this deal. And then he finally comes back and he's amazing. He's also a monster.
No, he's big.
Like he's a huge dude.
Yeah.
When you lose in that step and you still have
big
at least
athletic,
that side,
like
you can still make up for some of it. And so I just feel like maybe the margin for error. This is just a dumb guy talking.
No, but you're right. But the thing that to me is the most enticing thing. We're year to year here in this Leafs run, Like, this is a year-to-year thing. And the fact that he's got 1 year left on his contract, if he comes in next year and he's showing more signs of breaking down.
I just don't know why they would give him up.
Because they have their number one prospect outside of the NHL is Askarov. They took him 11th overall. Yeah. He had an unbelievable season with the Admirals this year. He's the next one. He's going to get called up. Eventually, there's going to be a goalie controversy. They're not going to pay an aging goalie that money when they have that guy in the minors. I really do believe that they're going to think about moving Saros if they can get a good package for him.
I think there's a possibility of it. Here's just my only case against is that Nashville loves to compete. That's one of their things.
For sure.
Like, they're not a team that goes into rebuild mode.
I give them full credit because they're always plucky. They're always competitive. They always make the playoffs. They're a good team.
Is part of the, like, Poyle.
Yes.
Like, remaining leftover, legacy of
the
National Predators.
And the Trots will be the exact same way the entire time.
That's what I'm saying, is that they are always going to try to win hockey games. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be the, we're going for Gavin McKenna in the draft. That's not going to happen. So it's hard for me to imagine them moving off of a goalie that helps them win games to go turn to a rookie unless the package was insane. Mm-hmm. And right now, wouldn't they just let him walk? Would they need to get, do you need to get a package back for UC Saros? I'm just not sure you do. I think that they play it out. They go into the deadline. And if they're there, they go, maybe make us a Godfather offer, but I don't see them moving it. And if they don't, then they just run them out. And
I mean, that's the perks of being in Nashville versus Toronto.
For sure.
Where it's just like, yeah, we can do this.
For sure. But he's going to want 8+ a year. And I don't know how I would feel about paying 8+ for... Saros.
Yeah, not to do Nashville Predators talk here, but I was just looking at the playoff history. They're in the playoffs all the time.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying. They don't miss.
Since their first four seasons in the league, they've been in the playoffs every year except one.
But this is what I'm saying about this offseason, them trading him.
Yeah.
It would be fairly strange to me to be going to like an unproven commodity unless they had a different strategy. And then the other thing too is, what is going to happen with the Bruins?
Yeah, like, there's just no shot that they're trading
not
to
the
Leafs.
But I'm just going like right now too. Okay, you just saw what the price was for Markstrom. Why would you trade UC Soros for that?
Yeah, they're like, that was an idiot trade.
Yeah, they go, hey, thanks. You know, you just proved to us that guys are buying those goaltenders for cheap. Mm-hmm. They're kind of in a similar class, Markstrom and Soros. I don't view them as worlds apart. I like Soros a little more.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at Askarov's numbers here. He's a first round pick. He's 22. He's 6'3".
Yeah, but 22 is so young for a goalie, man. I don't think you're throwing his feet in the fire.
Like, they could even give Saros like a 2 or 3 year contract with a big AAV and like pair them together and just kind of.
Hey, you don't have to move. You're going to live here. Nashville will pay you. I don't.
Talk me to that one. I got nothing now, buddy.
Yeah,
here we go. Brassois.
No.
Brassois time.
No, I was going to say, if Boston makes the Allmark trade with you, then you can also write down in pen, Allmark sucks.
Oh, and it's no question. And the first round pick you give up for him is turning into the next star of the Bruins for 15 years.
You almost can't do that trade if you're the Leafs.
Of course not.
Like, you can't do another goaltender trade with Boston.
Oh, yeah.
The last time you did it.
Didn't work out too hot.
It was one of the worst trades in the history of the franchise.
No question. You're right. I think Allmark's a good goalie.
Allmark getting the Raykov treatment would be like too funny if people started wearing the jerseys behind the net.
I don't know if this is more of a...
You wouldn't get allowed into the stadium now, I think, like modern day. No, you know how, remember those guys that stood behind the net with like Ray Suck?
And, yeah.
Like, Ray Soft jerseys?
Yeah, that would be allowed now.
I don't think that you could get in.
It's funny because the only thing I think of when I think of Allmark...
Yeah.
Is clearly he won the Vezina and he was very good last year for them. And he was good again this year.
Nah, he's a fake Vezina winner.
But you know what the funniest part about it is? Yeah. I can't get by that. I was praying for him to start games in the first round.
Yeah, no, there's no way.
Right?
No, there's no way.
It's like, I was just like,
no, you can't
please start Allmark.
Trying to beat.
And the only game, and he was excellent in that game.
Beat Boston with the backup they chose to move off of. The older guy.
Yeah.
As they play the kid that you passed on in the draft.
But I defend that one. Ian Scott had pedigree. He was the best he was the best goalie in the CHL.
Ian Scott
he was a pedigree guy.
Is a all-time what if?
Yeah.
And if you like, follow it close, because he got hurt.
Yeah,
but he was a stud,
and he was
playing like a stud.
So that's why I mean they got him in the fourth round. It's one pick later. No. Clearly is awful. It's
I
a leafy
it was third,
thing.
But yeah, same.
It just doesn't.
Yeah,
same.
All right. Well, that's where we're at.
Yeah,
we think the team's coming back the same, but maybe plus Jake DeBrusk
with
and
no
the goaltending situation is looking dire.
Sick.
No pressure, Brad.
Leafs talk's going to rule next year.
Please do something for Leafs Talk. Dude,
I like doing a Leafs Talk next February where it's just Marner against like the Blue Jackets.
Yeah.
It's just my nightmare right now. The thought of that just sends shivers up and down my spine. But we can't. I honestly like have fear of doing the shows where he's unsigned. And all year it's going to be, especially with Kipper, like it's going to be the number one conversation the entire time about how he's unsigned, how the price tag's going up with every point. We did it with Willie.
No, you
and then
can't.
They paid him at the peak of his power. And he's a good player and like clearly, but you know, it's a terrifying thing to go into next year.
I just think that the first sign of bringing back Shanahan, like the idea that it's still acceptable.
I know.
Why would you think that they're not going to look at the core four and go, yeah, it still looks like, why would you think like they're not going to put the screws to Marner? Because if they would have, it would have happened already.
But the great what if, and one that I always talk about is that I really do think if Kyle Dubas had have stayed,
he would have traded.
He would have traded Marner last year before it kicked in.
Yeah.
And last year was obviously the summer to trade him. And I don't blame.
I love it. That's where we're so broken now that people are going like, even the most anti-Dubas guys are like, if Dubas stayed, the team would be in better shape.
I don't blame Treliving because he came in like, in a whirlwind. It was a week. He can't trade Marner in a week.
I argue with this with Myrtle all the time whenever he's critical of Treliving and he's like, well, it's the same
as
he's
supposed to
do. What do you want him to do? He couldn't even be on the draft floor.
It's crazy.
He came in and Shanahan was like, I already told all my sweet candy babies that they're going to be back on the team this year.
The sweet candy baby.
You can't be at the draft. And we got no depth at center. We got no blue liners.
But then
we
got
the power
best draft pick we've had in 10 years. So.
Yeah, I know.
Thanks, Dubas.
So anyway, subscribe to this podcast. Leave 5 stars. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at JD Bunkus. That's Sammy McKee. And follow the other shows too, because we'll try to pop some stuff in the feed, and we'll be doing stuff as the Leafs make moves through a free agency here in the Leafs Talk feed as well. Follow JD Bunkus podcast if you just listen to Leafs Talk. Follow Real Kipper Inborn. We'll try to put as much into the feed as possible. But yeah, we got loaded stuff going on free agency day on July 1st. Mm-hmm. I've got some packed shows the next couple of weeks in terms of it's going to gear up a lot towards some Leaf stuff. This is now Leaf season. As soon as the Stanley Cup closes, it's going to basically pivot immediately into a lot more Leaf stuff before the summer hits. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.